All right. Hey, good morning. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's the 27th of March, 2022. Should be about 10:30 in the morning on a Sunday morning. Normally, I do these live, but I had a previous engagement scheduled from weeks ago, and so this is coming to you recorded. The flood, the great flood of Noah, continuing on with that. Last week, we talked about the events that led up to the flood, and in fact, the flood itself. And today we're going to cover Genesis chapter 8, which is the aftermath of the flood. But it is absolutely worthwhile to go back and revisit Genesis chapter 5, Genesis 6, and then Genesis chapter 7 before we hit Genesis chapter 8, just as an overview. When I used to teach college courses, history courses, I'd do the same thing. I said, okay, yesterday you had an hour-long lecture on XYZ. I'm going to give you the five-minute summary. So this is it. Okay, the earth was created. Man is on the earth. Man becomes corrupt. But he has beautiful daughters. And angelic beings come down, Genesis chapter 6. And they mate with women. This is a mixing of kinds. This is a genetic mixing of kinds. These watchers, these angelic beings, are not human beings. They may have appeared and looked like human beings, but they're a different kind. Just like a bird is not a fish. They're both animals, but they're a completely different kind. This was forbidden. It was not only forbidden for them to mate, but these angels left their abode. They left their assigned place. Talks about that in the book of Jude. So they left their assigned place. They transgressed a border. They were border hoppers. They had an assigned place, and they violated their assigned place, and they crossed a border that they were not supposed to cross. Number one. Number two, they mated with different kinds. They mated with women, the sons of men. This was an evil act, and you had a corruption of all flesh. Not only did they mate with women, and then their offspring were the mighty men of old. I reminded you, go back and study your Greek and Roman gods, even your Norse gods, and look at these creatures like Hercules that were byproduct of a god and man, of a mortal and an immortal. This is what was going on back then. These stories of these strange and fabulous creatures are not idle imaginations. They were real. Go back and look at the ancient Babylonian gods, these gods that looked like lions with faces of a man, and they had wings like eagle. They're engraved in stone still to this day. You can go on the internet, you see pictures of them. And then who knows what other kind of genetic manipulations they were trying to do, mixing of the different kinds. You've heard stories of the satyrs, body of a goat and a head of a man. Pictures of the queen of the night, beautiful, shapely woman, but she had the feet of a bird. This is a mixing of the kinds. And this is why the first several chapters of Genesis so explicitly talk about there shall be no mixing of kinds. Kinds reproduced after their own kind. And that was it. And there was a male and there was a female. And that's it. There's no multiple genders. There's a male and there's a female, and there's no mixing of kinds. It's over and over and over and over in these first eight chapters of the book of Genesis. Over and over. Even in chapter 8, when we talk about that, talks about that how the animals left the ark by their kind. And how the ark in the ark there was rooms. You put different kinds together. You didn't mix them. Borders and boundaries. And so in the pre-flood world, there's a genetic mixing of kinds. And some of the offspring were amazing creatures, amazing creatures. And we'll learn more about, we're going to see some of this after the flood as well when we talk about Babel and the sons of Ham. So the Lord says, all flesh, the end of all flesh has come upon me. I've regret in my heart that I made man. It's like, ah, oh, God, that's a tough that's a tough one there. But Noah alone found favor in God's eyes. God said, I'm going to save Noah, his three sons and all their wives, and I'm going to put all the animals on the ark. So he did. The flood comes. And over and over and over, the Bible talks about how all flesh was blotted out. Everything that drew breath upon the land was blotted out. Billions of creatures, billions, blotted out. And it's just heart-wrenching. Except those on the ark. This is where we get into Genesis chapter 8. This is what happened. Now, Genesis 8 verse 1, it says, But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. And God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. So God remembers Noah. He remembers all the animals on the ark, and he caused a wind to pass over the earth. Well, what was on the earth? It was the whole thing. It was flood. It was flooded by water. Water covered the earth. Where did we see that before? This is a repeat. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and over the deep, the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Genesis 8, we talk about a wind moving over the waters. Genesis 1, verse 2, it talks about the Spirit of God moving over the waters. These are, they're supposed to be the same. It's supposed to look the same. There's something happening that was similar here. Nevertheless, God says, okay, I'm going to cause this water to decline. The water subsided. Verse 2, chapter 8. Also, the fountains of the deep and the windows of the heaven were closed, and the rain from the sky was restrained. There's three sources of water. We talked about this before. All the way back to the creation, there's the water above the earth, there's water on the earth, there's the water below the earth. And we talk about the fountains of the deep, and the windows of heaven are opened up. Remember the firmament that separated the waters from below the heavens from the waters above the heavens? And I said, look, I don't have this all figured out, but this is what it says. And I'll take what it says over what some, atheist says. And we'll talk about those guys, too. So the fountains of the deep and the windows of the heaven were closed. So there's two, completely separate. Fountains of the deep coming up from underwater, the windows of heaven coming up from the heaven, and the Bible says, and the rain from the sky was restrained. The rain from the sky was restrained. Three sources of water. Why is this important? Hey, it's all important. If it's in here, it's important. Verse 3, and the water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the water decreased. Verse 4, in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat. Notice the precision with which this happened. This wasn't, hey, a long, long time ago, there was like a bunch of water. No, exactly on the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. This was a historical event. It actually happened. This isn't an analogy. This isn't this is just a way of saying something else. No, this was a historical event, and this is exactly when it happened. Verse 5, the water decreased steadily until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains became visible. This is a historical retelling. This actually happened. Verse 6. Then it came about at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made. Remember, Noah's the original prepper. Noah knew something was coming and he prepared. I suggest y'all do the same. Something's coming, you need to prepare. talked about that on and off over the last couple years, three, 4 years here on bloodandfaith.com. Something's coming. You need to prepare. Maybe you'll make it through. Maybe you won't. But I suggest you prepare. One thing that we all face is our own. I'm going to speak to these the evangelicals who believe in a rapture. We all face a rapture. It may come tomorrow. It may come when you're 90. We all are going to fly away and stand before the judgment seat. That's my point. We're all going to have a moment when our time on earth is up, whether we are ready or not. And you're going to go face the consequences of the judgment day. That's just the way it is. And you don't know if it's today or if it's tomorrow or 40 years from now. I suggest that people get ready today. And if you aren't convinced of that, I would suggest that you go visit a cemetery. Take a walk through a cemetery. I don't care how young you are. Take a walk through a cemetery and see how many people died unexpectedly before they reached the age that you are today. I don't care if you're 15 or 5. Walk through a cemetery and notice all the people that died at an age younger than you. Do you think they expected their own personal moment to come at that time? I don't think so. And then the older you get, you go like, oh my God, I'm lucky to be alive. But it comes when you don't expect it. You don't know. So be prepared. And then Noah sent out a raven, and it flew here and there until the water was dried up from the earth. The raven didn't come back. What does a raven eat? Eats carrion. Raven eats dead animals. Boy, he got a bullet belly full. Plenty of rotting dead animals out there. I don't know, maybe not. But the flood took a year. It was a year-long event. And we're going to get to that here in a little bit. Then Noah sent out a dove, which doesn't eat dead stuff, to see if the water had abated from the face of the earth. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. So she returned to him in the ark, for the water was on the surface of all the earth. Very specific. Very, very specific. He let out a raven. A raven doesn't come back. He lets out a dove. There's no place for the dove to land, so the dove comes back. And the dove's a her, by the way. Why is it a her? I don't know. But there's a reason it was a her. I just don't know what it is. Then he put out his hand, and he took her and brought her into the ark to himself. But there's a reason. That's not for today, and I don't know what it is. Verse 10. So he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent out the dove from the ark. And the dove came to him toward the evening, and in her beak was a freshly picked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the water was abated from the earth. And he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, but she did not return to him again. Right, very, very specific events. Now, I want to mention a few things to you. I put some links to a couple sites up at bloodandfaith.com. If you go there and you look for this podcast, it should be right at the top of the page. There's the Institute for Creation Research, and there's Answers in Genesis. And I'm not intimately familiar with either one of them, but I'm familiar enough with them to recommend them. What I'm talking about is not religion. It's historical fact that happened on the earth. And the men and women at these two institutions have been researching this. And there's oodles and oodles of evidence for the Great Flood. There's so much evidence for the Great Flood that it's virtually overwhelming. And there's so much evidence for the creation story, how God created the kinds as the separate kinds. And we didn't morph, you know, one kind into another, as the evolutionists suggest. It's all out there. So ICR.org and AnswersInGenesis.org, the links are up there. You go check it out. And there's one guy that you really ought to read. I'm sure he's passed away. I think he wrote his book half a century ago. Guy's name is Henry Morris. It's must reading. And even if you don't read the entire scientific treatise, the introduction is worth 100 times whatever you're going to pay for the book. If you have any questions whatsoever about the theological necessity and the theological accuracy and the integrity of the story of Genesis, man, you got to go read that. Line upon line, precept upon precept. You cannot divorce Jesus Christ from the story of Genesis. Absolutely integral, absolutely linked. And this is why I've said the first 11 chapters of Genesis are the foundation of everything that's come after. That's probably comes from Henry Morris. When I first read that, probably 3 decades ago. It's been a while, so I can't give you details. But please, Henry Morris, read his introduction. It's a classic. And there's been a lot of work done since then, so maybe some of his scientific research, which is a secondary portion of the book. My forte is not in that. And many, many, many men and women have been doing research into the science of the creation and the science of the flood. The evidence is there. Evidence is all out there if you just look at it. Unfortunately, we live in a world where the cult runs the world, and they have their state-sponsored religion. And the centers of the state-sponsored religion, the cathedrals, are the universities. And the professors are the prophets. They're the priests and the prophets of the global cult. The global cult and the prophets tell people to worship the beast and to rebuild the tower. So you got the beast, you got the prophets that it command people to worship the beast. It's all here. It's all there. Now we're coming up upon a time of the days of Noah. Okay, now it's normalized. It's simply normalized. Well, let's do some CRISPR work. Get out the CRISPR. Do some genetic modifications. Make some chimeras, mixture of human and animals. That's going on today. Mixing of kinds. Oh, yeah, you know, get your mRNA shot, modified RNA shot. It will modify your DNA. By the way, we're mixing kinds in there, too. I don't know what they're doing. Cloning different animals, cloning sheep. Was it Dolly the sheep's cloned? We're just opening a whole new Pandora's box of evils. As in the days of Noah. It's all coming. Noah's important. You want clues to the present? Go look at the past. You want clues to what's going on in 2022? Go study the story of Noah. Go read the first 11 chapters of Genesis. It's all there. Anything you wanted to know about 2022, the theological foundation is in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Been studying it my entire life, and I feel like I've barely scratched the surface. It's rich. It's deep. What did Jesus Christ say about the flood? Or is this just some story from long, long ago? Oh, Jesus Christ taught the flood. Jesus Christ taught the flood, and he assumed everybody believed in the flood. The creator of mankind, the creator of the universe, in the flesh, incarnation, God walking around the flesh, taught about the flood. This is from Luke chapter 17. The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say, look here, look there. Don't go after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes from one part of the sky and shines to another, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Verse 26, Luke chapter 17. But just as it has happened in the days of Noah. How? The Bible says just as it happened in the days of Noah. So you want to know what's going to happen at the end? Just as it happened in the days of Noah. What do we know about Noah? Well, he was 500 years old before he even started building the ark. All right, he's about 600 years old when he hops on the ark and a flood comes. So the dude had seen 6 centuries of human life. He'd seen the mixing of kinds. He'd seen the violence. And he was a preacher of righteousness, warning the world of the flood to come, of the disaster to come. You think he got any respect? No more respect than anybody gets today saying, hey, there's a judgment. The judgment's coming, baby. The final judgment's coming. I suggest you wake up and pay attention. Your judgment is coming. Your personal judgment is coming. whether you're ready, whether you want it or not. It's coming. They laughed at Noah. They laughed at him. But a day came when the ark was shut, and then the rain started, and it was too late. It was too late once that door was shut. And you and I, we've got a time in this life. We got a time when that door is open, and once that door shut, it's all over. It's all over, and it's too late. There was a song from my youth. Trying to think of it. There's two paths you can go on, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on. That's a lie. That's Satan's lie, too. There's not. Man goes through life. Woman goes through life. And at a certain point, that's it. You've set your course. You've made your choice. You've made your decision. And you'll never worry about it. You'll never wonder about it because the time has passed. God's knocking on your door, baby. You're thinking about these things. Now is the time. You make your choice now. Don't wait because the door's shut, the door's shut, and it's too late. If you're even thinking about getting right with God, baby, don't wait. Because once that door is shut, it's all over. And you don't know when the time is over for you. You know, I look at all these rich and powerful men and, you know, beautiful women, and they look like they have great lives, but good Lord. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world if he loses his soul? I look at these billionaires fleeing out of Russia, for example. And like, dude, I hope it's worth it. Because at the end of the day, it's the end of the day. And then you go to the judgment. You go to the judgment seat and you stand before Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the judge. There's no other judge. It's not Muhammad or Buddha. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, he said, all judgment has been turned over to me by the Father. God the Father won't even judge you. He says, no, you're going to go stand before my Son. You're going to stand before Jesus Christ to be judged. So you reject Jesus Christ? Don't want to be in that boat. That's the same kind of boat being in when you said, you know what, Noah? Be gone with you. I don't want to be on your ark. I reject your ark. Why are you so strident about your religion and there's only one way? Well, because that was the truth. That's why Noah was. Noah said, hey, this flood's coming. Everything on earth will be wiped out. And there's one way. It's the ark. That's it. Like, man, why do you have to be so, you know, non-diverse? Can't you be more accepting of different ways to God? No, that was it. One ark. One door into the ark. And you and I, we got a life to live, and then it comes to an end, and there's the judgment day. Even if you go back and you study the wisdom in the Proverbs, and it says, son, my son, have fun, but please remember God in the days of your youth, because everything will be called to account. Everything will be called to account. So keep an eye on the children. Have fun. I tell my boys, I say, man, go out and have fun. Have fun. Young men got to be young men. Go have fun. But just keep an eye on the judgment day and realize that you have a call and a purpose in your life and a destiny on your life. It's about serving him, serving the master. And for all of us, go visit that cemetery and realize how quickly it can be all over and you're called to account. I can tell you the story of the rich man who tore down his barns, built bigger barns, and says, hey, I'm going to take it easy, man. Eat, drink, and be merry. God says, you fool, don't you know this very night your soul will be required of you? Who owns your soul? The Maker, the Almighty. And when he calls it back, he calls it back. Just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. The flood came and it destroyed them all. The flood came and it destroyed them all. Destroyed them all. The Bible says he blotted out everything that had blood, that drew the breath of life that was on the face of the ground. Blotted them out. Verse 28. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. Okay, Lot lived in Sodom. So Jesus Christ speaks about Sodom and Gomorrah too. This is Jesus Christ talking. It was the same that happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planning, they were building. But on that day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It destroyed them all. Flood destroyed them all. Sodom, it destroyed them all. It will be just the same on that day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop. Anyway, it'll be just the same. This is real stuff. Jesus Christ preached it. Jesus Christ preached the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He preached the destruction through the great flood. These are real events that really happened. And this the specificity of times and dates and days and months and ages of the people involved. Look, if you believe the Holy Scriptures were inspired by the Holy Spirit, you cannot take this any other way. This happened. 2 Peter chapter 3. Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mockings, following after their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men." Judgment is an eternal fact for our lives individually and for the world and for the nations. Great flood was a real event. Check out those links, Answers to Genesis and Institute of Creation Research. I got them up there at bloodandfaith.com. Now, in the global cult that we live in, the religious leaders don't believe in the Great Flood and they don't believe in the creation. They teach a different existence myth that's not scientific. Reverse entropy is not science. There's nothing scientific about entropy worshiping or operating in reverse. We've talked about that before. And you live in a cult. I'm telling you, you live in a cult. You live in the matrix. I'm trying to offer you the pill so you can get out of it. And it'll be hard. Sure, it's hard. Genesis 8, verse 13. Now it came about in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the water was dried up from the earth. Very specific. If this didn't happen as it said, why did the Holy Spirit inspire Moses to write it as is? Or do you not believe that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Bible? You kind of got yourself in a pickle now, don't you? Either it is the way it says it was, or the Holy Spirit didn't inspire the writers of the Bible, or the Holy Spirit inspired them to write things that were incorrect. I love this. I love this because it puts you in a situation where you need to pay attention and understand. Then Noah removed the covering from the ark and looked, and behold, the surface of the ground was dried up. And still, the story continues. Verse 14. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. So he's in the boat for another 2 months. Still in there for another 2 months. Imagine having the patience to put up with that stuff. Like, Noah, come on, man. It's time already. We got to get out of here. Genesis 8:15. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons, and your sons' wives with you." I think at that point, there was a pretty high level of fear and respect for the Almighty God. They just watched all of mankind be wiped out, and they knew that God had saved them. Thank God the sons listened to Noah. Now, there may be more to the Noah story than we know about. The dude's 500 years old when He begins Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Did he not have other kids before then, or other wives before then? I don't know. Just throwing it out there. Most of the people in the Bible, they start up until this point. They by the time they're somewhere in the hundreds, they start having kids. Now, with Noah, it just said, look, it's in his 500th year, then he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So it's a little different accounting of the kids there. And by the way, and we'll get to this in another week or two, was the mother of Shem, Ham, and Japheth on the ark? It's not clear to me. It's not clear to me. Or was she not on the ark? But of course Noah took a wife. I don't know. Something to think about. Verse 17, bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, the birds and the animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may breed abundantly upon the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. All right? And again, this goes right back to Genesis chapter 1, 26, be fruitful and multiply. It goes forward to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, go out and preach the gospel. Let the word of God, the seed of God, multiply across the face of the earth. Recurring, overlapping, and mutually reinforcing themes from the beginning to the end. It's a wonderful symphony. Verse 18. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons and sons' wives with him. Very specific. Verse 19, every beast and every creeping thing and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by their kind from the ark. Again, here's the kind. They went out by their kind from the ark. So the elephants came out. Elephants didn't come out mixed with the pigs. Hello? They didn't come out all, jumbled up. They did not come out all jumbled up. They came out by kinds. The Bible's very clear about this, the separation of kinds. That's why we got to pay attention to this and be careful what we're doing in the world today. Even coming out of the ark, they came out by kinds. So the gazelles come out together as a kind, as the gazelles. The alligators come crawling out as a kind. They came out as kind. They didn't come out mixed with, birds. Came out as alligators. By the way, people say, where's the dinosaurs? Were the dinosaurs right? Of course you are. Alligator's just a dinosaur. Iguana's just a dinosaur. Ever seen Komodo dragons? They're just dinosaurs. They're all dinosaurs. Maybe a little smaller, but they're the same. And the more they study the great big dinosaurs, like T-Rex, they said, this is like a bird. Look, I'm just saying, we haven't even scratched the surface of looking at this stuff and saying, what's going on here? But the folks at ICR and Answers in Genesis, they are. They're working hard at it, if you pay attention to them. So they come out by their kind. Again, the kind is so, so important, so, so critically important. Especially today, when we're messing with the genetic material of humans and animals. Chopping, cutting and pasting, chopping and inserting things. Pay attention to that stuff. So first thing that Noah does, he builds an altar to the Lord. Very first thing that Noah does, he builds an altar to the Lord. The fear of God was there. He said, oh God Almighty, thank you for saving me. Thank you, God Almighty, for saving you. He builds an ark to the Lord. He sacrifices of the clean animals. The Bible says it was a soothing aroma to the Lord. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma. And the Lord said, I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing that I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. This was a historic event. It actually happened. It's very precious to the Almighty God. Precious to Jesus Christ, because he talks about it. Peter talks about it. It's in Luke, it's in Matthew, it's in 2 Peter. The kinds, pay attention to the kinds. And we're going to finish up there. That took us through Genesis chapter 8. We'll start on 9 next week. The flood, you know, there's the keys to many things that are going on today can be found in the first few chapters of Genesis. Pay attention to them. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. See you guys soon.